Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and Tánaiste Micheál Martin are both in Northern Ireland today. The Taoiseach will meet the various political parties. The Tánaiste will meet the Northern Ireland Secretary Chris Heaton-Harris in efforts to try to resolve the row over the Northern Ireland Protocol. And of course, it follows yesterday's failed attempts at talks between the British Foreign Secretary and the parties after Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald was excluded from those discussions, and that led to a stalemate. And for the latest, I'm joined on the line by Belfast-based journalist Amanda Ferguson and Professor John Tong, Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool. Amanda, to you first. So following that fiasco yesterday, what are we expecting from today?
Well, I'm standing outside the gates of Hillsborough Castle, where the Tánaiste is due to have a meeting with Chris Heaton-Harris, the Northern Ireland Secretary of State. We know that the Tánaiste has a further series of engagements, including in Armagh, which will focus on the North-South Ministerial Council, which has been down because of the ongoing impasse. We also have Leo Varadkar in Belfast to meet with the party leaders, the party delegations. My understanding is that Sinn Féin are first in with Leo Varadkar in the next half hour or so. And then we also have a visit from the British Labour leader, Sir Keir Starmer, who, again, he's going to be meeting with the party. So everyone's meeting each other. And I think this just flows from the EU-UK data breakthrough that is supposed to set up a wider deal on the outstanding issues that there are with the protocol. So everyone's meeting each other, but perhaps today we'll have less drama than yesterday did.
So do you think this signifies a big push now to come to some sort of a resolution over the protocol?
Well, I think that, you know, obviously everyone knows that the British and Irish governments are co-guarantors of the Good Friday Agreement. Everyone knows that all parties concerned with the impasse at Stormont and the protocol would like this issue dealt with as quickly as possible. It doesn't seem as if there's going to be a breakthrough in the immediate term. I don't think anybody's expecting next Monday when the EU and the UK meet for there to be a sudden breakthrough and all of the ducks to be lined up and every issue that there is around the ECJ and around agri-food and governance of any deal resolved. But it's certainly pointing in the right direction, and I think it's all pointing towards the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. I think that the US, the EU, the British and Irish governments, that the local parties would like to have that tied up for the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. However, the DUP may not be minded to back whatever is pulled together by the EU and the UK. And there is no certainty that it will be pulled together in time for that deadline. But the direction of travel is pointed towards that, but whether it actually happens or not remains to be seen.
Yeah, and do you see any chink of light in the DUP position, which has been very black and white up to now on the protocol?
Well, you know, where there's light, there's hope, and I would probably be an optimist to an extent, but more of a realist. And whenever I was speaking to Sir Geoffrey Donaldson yesterday, he made clear that the DUP7 tests, as they describe them, remain. Now, if you look at those tests, some of them are very specific and some of them are very broad. So it can be hard to look and see how the DUP could be satisfied in a deal between the EU and the UK, where both parties are going to have to bend and give something to a certain extent. It remains to be, it's a big decision, really, for Sir Geoffrey Donaldson if the EU and the UK pull together the deal, which is expected to happen in the coming weeks and months, whether that he can sell that to his party, whether he can sell it to broader unionism. And some people do feel as if it's like a last chance saloon opportunity for Stormont, although we have heard that a number of times before. And I think people here are used to a certain level of dysfunction because of the nature of politics in the North. But, you know, there's a frustration with the ongoing impasse, and I think people would like to get it resolved.
I'm sure they would. Amanda, stay with us. I know you're busy there, and if you have to go, yeah, we'll understand. But I want to bring in Professor John Tong. First of all, John, what did you make of what went on yesterday? John, are you there? We lost John's line.
Whatever adjective you want for yesterday, it was a farce. It was a fiasco. It could hardly have been worse. But I think today will be much, much better. I think that Leo Varadkar comes basically at a time where there's much greater hope. If you look at what has happened, the UK and EU have done a deal in terms of sharing trade data. And that does pave the way, potentially, for a breakthrough in terms of a deal on the protocol.
But we were just talking there with Amanda about the DUP position, and Amanda says that she is an optimist. Lots of people are not, though, and the DUP have held very fast to their position up to now. What do you think it's going to take to get them to move?
It's going to be a very, very difficult sell for Geoffrey Donaldson to sell it to his own party. a revised protocol, because let's face it, the deal that emerges is not going to get rid of the protocol. Indeed, the courts only last month insisted that the responsibility to carry on building border control posts in Northern Ireland to manage the protocol. But the significance of the UK-EU trade deal is that you have, in effect, a green channel or a very light touch protocol for goods going between Great Britain and Northern Ireland only. The protocol will, in effect, be reduced to checking goods going GB to NI and onwards into the EU single market, that is, south of the border. That would allow Geoffrey Donaldson to at least sell to the DUP that he has protected the integrity of the UK internal economic market. Now, whether everyone will buy that in the DUP, I think, is another matter. But I share Amanda's view. There is an anxiety now on the part of both the UK and the Irish government to try and get the institutions restored, or at least the promise of a restoration, by the time of the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, which, let's remember, is less than 3 months away. So the clock is ticking. But I think this is the problem for it is that the DUP has the TUV breathing down its shoulder, and it is going to be that difficult internal sell, which is often the problem in Northern Irish politics. Selling it to your own side can be the most difficult thing of all.
Okay, John is in a train station, in case you're wondering what that animalistic sounding whistle is in the background. Maybe that helps explain it. Amanda, what's your view on this light touch protocol that might emerge and the potential for Geoffrey Donaldson to sell that to the DUP?
Well, we heard Sir Geoffrey Donaldson on the airwaves this morning, and I was talking with colleagues, you know, are we hearing him suggest that these border post issues are solely going to be for EU goods, they're not going to be for UK internal market goods, and it sounded maybe as if he's looking for a ladder to climb down, but John's right in what he's saying. Jim Allister is going to be standing there just telling him, Geoffrey Donaldson, every which way he's failed, because Jim Allister really is an absolutist whenever it comes to the protocol, and I don't think a realist whenever it comes to the protocol, because of course everyone knows it's very clear in the Good Friday Agreement that Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom unless and until people would vote any differently. But it is a unique part of the United Kingdom, and while it's a place at peace, it is a contested place as well, and there's a changing political landscape across the island of Ireland, which makes the sort of farce that there was yesterday all the more interesting.
So, John, then if all of this work is done to get to a light touch protocol position, the DUP then, let's say for argument's sake, can't sell it or won't sell it to their membership. What's the British and Irish government's next move? What's the EU's next move on the chessboard?
Well, I think the UK government is already frustrated with the DUP. It believes that the DUP should be back into the institutions anyway, because the UK government has put the protocol bill through the House of Commons. It's currently paused in the House of Lords, but in effect, it has disapplied the protocol. So pending that, the UK government thinks the DUP should be back in the institutions anyway. If the DUP refuses to go back, then I can see the UK government saying, well, be careful what you wish for, because we can introduce direct rule, but it would be with a greener tinge. Now, quite what that would mean, it is very hard to specify, but there's no doubt that, you know, there's almost been an exponential increase in the Irish government's say in the North over the years, and that will be the scenario confronting the DUP. So any victory for the DUP may be pyrrhic, but there's no doubt, you know, the DUP would still be reluctant to go back into Stormont, given that Sinn Féin is the largest party there. I suppose the other option for the UK government would be to call an Assembly election, but that's very high risk, because there's no doubt the DUP would still be the largest party of unionism, and under the rules, the DUP would still have veto rights, so we'll be back to square one. And if anything, an Assembly election could actually polarise the electorate in Northern Ireland even more. Remember that the DUP, all the polls suggest that a large majority of the unionist electorate actually back the DUP stance. So I think an Assembly election would be an act of folly, but it might be the sort of last chance saloon that the UK government enters.
What do you think the appetite would be, Amanda, for another Assembly election?
I think a lot of people would view another Assembly election as a distortion of democracy, given that the people were at the polls back in May, and also because of that historic result for Sinn Féin, the first time in Northern Ireland's 101-year history that a nationalist was going to hold the very top job. Now, we know that First Minister and Deputy First Minister is a joint office, but still it's a psychological blow in a series of blows for unionism since they lost the majority at the Stormont and the internal chaos there's been within the parties. You know, journalists love an election. I don't mind mind going out and canvassing and knocking doors. But I think everybody knows what the issues are. Everybody knows where their support lies. And I don't think anybody would relish another election. But, you know, that doesn't mean you can't rule it in or out, because we know with Northern politics that nothing's agreed or signed on the dotted line until the very last moment. I think that everyone knows that there's outstanding issues around the health service. There are issues around, you know, the not being able to implement an ending violence against women and girls strategy. There's a whole series of issues that need to be dealt with immediately. And I think because of the nature of the storm and structures, that people are used to a collapse and stop-start system of government. And I think that's why you're hearing from the Alliance Party, who surged to third place at the last election, continuing their calls for reform of the institutions so that we can put an end to the stop-start nature of the politics here.
RTÉ's Europe editor Tony Connolly is reporting this morning, and I saw his Twitter thread on this last night, but he brings it all together this morning by saying the UK will bring forward legislation this week which could see work on the construction of border control posts at Northern Ireland ports resume following months of controversy related to the Northern Ireland Protocol. Now, how is that, John, likely to play into these conversations and the DUP position today?
It will play badly with the DUP, but the DUP must have known that this was coming, because the instruction of the DUP's agriculture minister, Edwin Poots, to civil servants to stop building those border control posts was ruled unlawful in the courts only last month. Therefore, the UK government has no option. Given there's no devolved executive, the UK government legally probably had no option other than to authorise the continued building of those border control posts. The UK government may try and be emollient towards the DUP in saying, look, these border control posts will be for goods that only to check on goods that are going into the EU single market.
Yes.
We will protect the integrity of GB to NI trade. That's the best that the UK government can offer the DUP. I don't see the EU moving beyond that. And you know, that, again, it comes back to the capability of Geoffrey Donaldson, if he wants to go into the institutions, because remember, he's not even taken his own seat in those institutions. Rather than leave Westminster, it would be up to him then to try and sell it to his own party.
All right, well, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you both, John Tong and Amanda Ferguson. And coming up next, sports stars who've fallen from grace. We'll talk about them all after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.